Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, that you will cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, that our hearts would be given more over to you in this moment as we worship and praise your holy name. Almighty God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. And all God's people said,
Amen.
As you know, there's been a Bible class meeting on the end times on Tuesday nights here at the church. And in any study on the book of Revelation or a study on the last days will, for many, cause us to look at our current times and ask some questions. Are we in the last days? Is Jesus coming back in my near future? What will that mean for me? And I must admit, as Paul writes to Timothy in this letter, his last letter that Paul would write, it becomes for us his last thoughts on a life spent with God. It's what he wants Timothy to know most, and for really us as Christians to know. And it is this precious letter that we receive from Timothy, or from Paul, is like any letter that we might receive in the mail, not a bill, not something courting you for a new type of cable TV, not an offer for a new vehicle, but a letter that is personal, that was maybe even handwritten. This letter to Timothy is like that letter to us, where we read it over and over and over again because it has such meaning for us. Because we know that the writer of the letter had something important to share with us. And as Paul starts off this section of the letter after telling Timothy to guard the treasure, the truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, to continually kindle the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that we've been given to us by God that gives us not only power, but strength to live lives for Christ. To be diligent, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who accurately handles the word of truth. Paul writes these things and then tells us to guard, to kindle, and to be diligent. And then Paul says to his young friend, he says this, but mark this. Read the rest with me. There will be terrible times in the last days. Terrible times. Last days. It sounds ominous. It's like a long car ride with the kids who are saying, like people asking about the last days, are we there yet? When will we get there? How much longer? I don't know about you, but the tension for me in the last days about this subject is yes, we might be there. Versus the tension of, I hope we're not. The yes side of me realizes it would be exciting to see Jesus come riding on a white stallion out of the clouds from the east. The no side of me realizes that it will be a terrible time to be a Christian in the last days, as persecution will become almost unbearable, as Jesus warns about that time, many will turn away from the faith. The yes versus the no. I wonder if we look at Paul's list to Timothy of what people will look like in the end days, the last days, I wonder if we can determine for ourselves if we are indeed in the last days. Let me read this list to you. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous. That's quite a list, isn't it? Do you see that occurring today? Oh, I'm only halfway done with the list. Here's the rest of it. They will be people without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you think that this list is any indicative of our society today? Can you see these things happening today? I know I do. Certainly there are things we all hear, things that we hear that we might struggle with from time to time on this list. Money, maybe we're boastful, proud, unforgiving, ungrateful. We all experience these kinds of things. Yet I would say both yes and no to us being in the last days. I believe we have always had at some level people who fit into various parts of this list. I think the USA has been slowly adding people to this list through the years, and as people have joined this particular list, they have been leaving another important list. Over the last 50 years or so, there has been a steady decline of people who attend or participate in any or on any regular basis within a faith community, i.e. the church is shrinking as this list of actions seems to be growing in people's life. And so on one hand, I say, yeah, we're in the last days. But on the other hand, I say, no, we're not there yet. Although it seems people around the world generally are becoming more nominal about God and faith, especially in Europe and North and South America, there are segments in the world, like Eastern Asia, Western Africa, and the Arabian Peninsula, where Christianity is growing. Not dying, but growing. The real persecution that this seems to indicate, or that Paul talks about, is happening in the world, in other places of the world. But I believe until we see it here in the U.S. like we see it in other places of the world, we're not close yet. We're not as close as we will become. So whether we're in the last days or not, I suppose what concerns me most about Paul's last observation to Timothy, observation of people should be of what we should be aware of in the last days. Let's continue on with this list, picking it up with the last item on the list. Read it with me. People will be lovers of pleasure, readers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. What concerns me most is not the previous list, it's this part of the list. It's about those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. To deny the power of God, the Spirit within us, means that the power we're operating under is our own power. Or more disconcerting than that is a power from a spiritual source that's not God. The evil one. You see, people who have a form of godliness will look like people we should follow. They will not take us, though, closer to the Father. For instance, someone told me the other day that they came home and turned on the TV and some preacher made this claim. God has spoken to me and said that there are 50, yes, 50 new places in heaven that have just opened up. If you will send me a gift of $500, you will be insured one of these places in heaven that have just opened up. God has told me. So I thought I'd do the math. 50 times 500 is what? $25,000. $25,000. Now, that's only if 50 people send in thinking that they're going to be the first of the 50. But what if 100 people send in money thinking they're going to be one of those first 50? Do the math. $50,000. Well, what if it's more than 100? See, it's that form of godliness that's not drawing us closer to the Father, but that's abusing us. It leads us astray from a life of godliness. And this isn't the first TV preacher who has led people away from God. And it doesn't have to be this kind of a personality that'll lead us away. It could be someone, as scary as the thought is, someone like you or me. I know in my life I have played plenty of times pretend with God. I might have said I was a Christian, but I didn't exactly stand up for Jesus. You see, I grew up in the church. I was a PK. PK being pastor's kid. I was confirmed in the church, standing before my congregation, professing my faith in Jesus Christ. Yet my life didn't necessarily indicate that I was growing into a man of God. After high school, I worked at two different Christian camps, and in each one, there were staff that were distinctly Christian people. However, I stood on my pedigree. I'd gone to church all my life. I was a pastor's kid. I was a good kid. So I didn't need to participate in activities like Bible reading or Bible study. In fact, I don't think I practiced anything spiritual at all. Unless it was, God, I need help. Right? That's the prayer that everyone prays. Although I had opportunities to shape many young hearts to know the love of God through Jesus, I didn't even think twice about it. Oh, but I was a good person. At least in my own mind. Looking back, I realized I wasn't much of a soldier for Christ at that time in my life. I kind of had this form of godliness. Let me be clear here. Paul tells Timothy to avoid such people as these. Have nothing to do with them. Why? Because they'll lead you astray. The Wednesday morning Bible study group has been looking at the Islamic faith. A couple of weeks ago, we learned about how a guy named Muhammad had received some visions from God, and they were eventually written down, and we call it the Quran today. Muhammad would claim to be a new prophet from God who would direct people to God. He disregarded Jesus as the Son of God, the final word of God, and thus had, he claimed, the most recent utterances from God. Realized that the entire Bible had existed at this time. For almost 600 years, Jesus had been proclaimed as the only Savior of the world, the long-awaited Messiah, God in the flesh, died for the sins of the world. Believe in Him, and you will have everlasting life. Yet Muhammad would lead many Muslims, as well as Christians who converted to Islam, some forced, yes, some willingly converting to Islamic faith, because Muhammad had the most recent download from God, thus leading them on a different path, one that I believe leads people away from the one true God. Now, this is a big example. But you or I could lead others astray with our own rendering of what we believe God says to us today. Our culture today continues to push the church to change not only what we should believe in regard to the Bible, but also how we should practice our faith. And history is full of others who have claimed to be the voice of God. Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell have both claimed to have heard from God and then changed what they believe true Christians should believe in Jesus Christ. They both changed the understanding of who Jesus is and then misrepresented this new understanding to countless others who then followed their teaching, putting at risk their eternity. Is there anything more precious or important than where we're going to spend eternal life? And to think we have the ability to be an influence on how someone else will spend their eternity. I remember when I was in college and I had to walk about a mile to a stereo shop where I purchased some stereo equipment. I was glad to have the new equipment. It was great stuff. But I had to walk that mile or so with the equipment back to my rented room in my arms. The salesman said, this will be pleasure weight. Pleasure weight. Even though at moments it was a strain to carry, I would have to stop and take a break, I was still happy to have it. The same could be said for the Apostle Paul. He found great joy in proclaiming the good news. No more than that. He found great joy in helping spread the truth of who Jesus Christ is and helping people to know, to grow, and to maintain an active faith in Jesus such that they too would go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Yet in the midst of the joy that Paul had, he also experienced great persecution. Stoned a number of times, almost drowned, kicked out, beat up. In being an active follower of Jesus Christ, he experienced not only the joy, but the persecutions and sufferings. It was, in a sense, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pleasure wait. He had purpose, faith, patience, love, because of what Jesus had done in his life. This brought pleasure into his life, which allowed him to endure the persecutions and sufferings. This was the heavy weight in life. You see, he was willing to do for Jesus what Jesus had been willing to do for him. Suffer even unto death. And he goes on, Paul goes on to say, read it with me. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. Paul doesn't mince words to Timothy. To truly lead a godly life, one, it will be a life that you will not yield in your beliefs about who Jesus is and your source for how we learn about Jesus, the Bible. Nor will you yield your values to a lifestyle of the prevailing culture around you. So what will give you the fortitude to remain steadfast in the truth? What will keep you from following evil men and imposters, as Paul says, going from bad to worse, deceiving, and then being deceived? Paul gives Timothy this answer, one that will keep us from being deceived. Read it with me. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, we all will live a life based on what we have learned. We will all live life based on what we have learned and how we have learned to live it. I have been influenced by my parents as you have been influenced by yours. Growing up, I never saw my parents read a Bible, although we did pray before meals. I thought to live a Christian life boiled down to two things. One, go to church. Two, be a good person. That's what I learned to be a Christian man. As far as the Bible goes, I'd hear a sermon on Sundays, and that was that. Paul affirms to Timothy that the Scripture will make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Yet there is so much more. Paul finishes with these words we need to capture in our hearts. Read it with me. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, Paul states that the Bible is good to prepare us for every good work. Sometimes it teaches us. Sometimes it rebukes us for doing wrong. Sometimes it corrects our thinking and our understanding. Sometimes it trains us for how we should live our lives. But how can it teach us, rebuke us, correct us, or train us if we never open up the cover? If we never read a single word? If we rely on one 20-minute sermon every week to speak to us? How? A form of godliness, is what those people will take on if they're not intentional about God. And we do have influence in not only the lives of our family, but the lives of people we work with, our neighbors. with a form of godliness. I want to be a man of God, thoroughly equipped to do good works, knowing that there are times when I'm going to need to be taught, when I'm going to need to be rebuked or corrected. And I know that there will be times for the rest of my life where I need training to be the man of God that God wants me to be. So for me, the question is, are we willing to stand by the truth as God has given us so that our lives are a reflection of God? Are we able to lay down our lives and say, I want to be like Jesus? Are we able to trust God's word to guide us into all truth? Whoever said being a Christian will be easy, well, let me tell you, they were wrong. Being a Christian will bring true joy into your life, yes, but there will be persecution. I say, are we able? Are we able to read the Bible and to hear God's word speak to us? Is that a yes? I say, are we able to lay down our lives and follow the example of Jesus, Paul, and the other writers of the Word of God? Are we able?
Yes.
I say, are we able to live for God such that when people ask us to turn from it, we will remain steadfast in its truth? Are we able?
Yes.
Are we able when the time comes to endure persecution in whatever form it presents itself? Are we able to stand for Jesus? Then stand. Make the decision to stand. Make the decision to be with God, to open the Word of God, to read to God, to read about God's love for us, to read about how God wants us to live our lives. Not to steer us down a certain path because God says that's the way to do it. Because we love a God who knows what's best for us. You know what it's like to be a parent or an adult and you see a child doing something and you know there's a better way. Yet that child is going to make up its mind. God is our parent showing us the better way. Are you able to follow God? Then follow God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace, for your word, for the teachings of Paul, for the letters he wrote to these other churches, to other people who may at times have struggled with their faith. God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us not to be counted among those who have a form of godliness, but Lord, that you would count us among those who are able to stand with Jesus, who are able to rightly divide the word of truth, who are able to live lives such that other people will want to know what it is that we have that brings such great joy into our lives, even amidst persecution. God, help us to be those people. In Jesus Christ's holy and precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.